Hi all, and welcome to the All Things Woo podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Ray. This is a place for spiritual beings as well as those that are spiritually curious to come together and share their experiences, talents, and beliefs. If you've ever been drawn to ghosts, aliens, crystals, mediums, psychics, or maybe you're just somebody that's outgrown the dogma of religion, then this is the place for you. I like to think of it as a place for all things woo. I myself am a lifelong spiritualist, a spiritual health and wellness life coach. I've been reading tarot for the past 14 years, and I also facilitate one-on-one breathwork sessions. I'm here to share my own experiences and bring my own take on spirituality, but I'll also be inviting other coaches, spiritualists, and experts on here to share info with you guys. And if you have a story that you want to share, then I want to give you the platform. So please reach out to me, and I would love to see if you can be on the show. Let's get started.
Okay, guys, so as promised and as advertised, I have Sarah on, and she is actually the person that led one of my breathwork training sessions. We did 4 weeks together, which was amazing. It was a little bit difficult because we had a big time change while she was in Bali, and it was worth every penny, every session, every everything. I still have all of her stuff recorded and saved, and I refer to it often. So she is a great resource and somebody that I'm so excited to have on. Sarah, you want to introduce yourself? I'm just going to let you do it.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Sarah Silverstein, an international breathwork guide and teacher, aura photographer and female sexuality specialist, originally from New York City. Then I became nomadic for a few years, and now I'm back in the States figuring my life out one day at a time.
And it's so fun to watch. I feel like Sarah and I are really close friends, even though we're really not, but I like pop up on her Instagram all the time. I'm like, hey, I see you doing this now. What are you doing? Where you been? What's going on? Hey, hi.
And Instagram is wonderful.
It's so fun. So she's definitely somebody, even if you're like, I don't know if I'm in the market for like breath work necessarily. Her Instagram is a really fun place to be, and it's chock full of information. So do you want to tell us what is breath work exactly?
Yeah. So breathwork is an active form of meditation meant to bring about an emotional release. The best way that I always talk to people about it is I'm like, if you've tried seated meditation and you found that your brain can't quiet down, or you're going in a million miles a minute or a direction, breathwork may be a modality that might be good for you. Cause what we end up doing is your brain focuses on the breath, which so then it can't think in a million other ways. And you just get to drop into your body and start to understand what's going on there. We play with the nervous system. And ideally you walk away from each session feeling a little bit calmer and more connected into yourself. But it is a practice. So it requires a little bit of work in on that. And it's just it's the only thing that's ever worked for me after thinking that I was gonna, you know, try meditating forever and it just wasn't sticking. And then I tried breathwork. I was like, oh, but it's like such, I feel like it's the most poorly named modality of all time. Like, who wants to do something with the word work in it? Right? Like, I'm profoundly lazy.
I'm lazy.
Literally before we got on this, I was like watching Netflix in bed. I was like, yeah, cozy. Here we are. It is sweater weather. We're getting into this. And I was like, oh, right. It's gonna, you know, change requires work. And breathwork is, I mean, so far been the most interesting modality that I've tried and the only one that's worked.
I concur. I'm a terrible seated meditator. Like I can't do it. And then I'm also profoundly lazy because then I lay down and I want to fall asleep. I mostly sleep.
Perfect.
Which is like taboo. You're not supposed to like fall asleep during your meditation because then you're not doing the work. So the breathwork one definitely is a better experience. Did you always know that you were going to do breathwork? Like, how did this come about for you?
No, I've lived 1,000 lifetimes in this one. I originally went to uni for photography. And so I was a fashion photographer, eventually moved into law, advertising, real estate. My last job was in finance and I was in that. And I was in a relationship at the time where my then partner was like, yo, babe, if we're going to work out, like, I'm going to need you to do some internal work. And I remember he turned to me one day and he was like, you're not happy. And at that rate, I thought that I was, because I had achieved all of the things that society had told me that I would need in order to be happy and successful. So I had the relationship, I had the apartment, I had the very well-paying job, I could go on any vacation that I wanted to, like, I had money in the bank, you know, and I don't come from a stable household with love around. I don't come from money. And so the fact that I had, you know, ascended to this level, I thought, this is happiness. This is what happiness looks and feels like. And he was in the healing realm. And he was like, no, you're not there. So I begrudgingly took his loving comment and got a coach, which I had made fun of coaches forever. And I started working with this woman named Dana Balicki, and she changed my life. Like, she just offered things up in a very kind and soft way. And breathwork was one of them. And I balked at that for a couple of months. And then before I knew it, I was in my first group session. And after that, I was like, whoa, what just happened to me? And then I started doing one-on-one sessions with my teacher. And I think 6 months into it, I was in my first training. And I didn't think I was going to teach. It wasn't in my, you know, periphery of that. I was just like, oh, like, I wanted to understand more. I wanted to deepen my own practice. And after that one training, I swapped a session with a client and changed the course of my life forever. That's in that moment, I realized that this is what I was supposed to be doing. This is where I wanted to be. Like, being of service and being helpful was more important to me than, you know, continuing to climb the ranks in corporate America and bringing someone home to their own body with just their breath, and having me realize it had nothing to do with me and everything to do with what they were doing was just so beautiful to witness. So I slowly started to make my plans to leave my desk job. And then I started teaching full time, which is crazy. And it's like 4 years later, and I couldn't be more content with the decision that I had made, even though it was drastic and no one understood it and everyone called me crazy. It ended up being, you know, the solution for me. There's not one size fits all for anyone in this lifetime. And I think when we learn to follow our intuition, and beautiful things can unfold in front of us, but it requires, you know, slowing down, quieting down, hearing what's actually going on. So then you know which direction to go in.
Yeah. I think when I found you, you had just moved to Bali and you'd only quit your corporate job like 6 months to a year before that. And you were like, oh no, I'm in Bali. I'm hanging out. I'm leading sometimes, I'm attending sometimes. And it was really inspirational for me. Because I was like, other people have done this. Other people can do this. I mean, I haven't made a move to Bali, but it was when
you don't have to go to Bali. Like, that's a little extreme. I just happened to be traveling the world and I landed there and I realized that there was a market for it. And there weren't that many facilitators there yet. So, you know, I finally caught the right time for something and hopped on it, and it was incredible. And everything just started to unfold in front of me. And I was like, oh, okay, here we are.
Wow. To live in flow. Look at this. You stayed for a while though, didn't you? Like a year.
I was there for 3 years.
Wow. Okay. Three. Just kidding, guys.
Yeah. Not a full three. I think it was like 2 months, 2 years, 10 months or something, but rounding up for dramatic effect. And I had no plans on staying there that long. It just happened to work out that way. And that was another thing that I got to realize, that like a lot of the New York mindset was future planning, making, you know, the steps towards whatever the goal was. And I realized that I was really burnt out on that and I was really stressed out. So I just wanted a massive slowdown. So yeah, like when we first started talking, I got to go into 10 sessions. I got to lead them. I got to not worry about working 80-hour work weeks. And I was just like, oh, cool. Here we are.
Can you talk about kind of like what that felt like? I mean, I know every breathwork session, at least for me so far, has been different and it brings up different stuff. But like that feeling of like when you started to tune into, this is something else. This is different. This is not what I've been taught. I get a lot of questions from listeners that are like, well, how do I know if I'm like having an awakening, or how do I know if I'm doing the work? And really it's different for everybody. So I can't ever address that all in one. But what I've found is a lot of the listeners that I do have are, I feel like they're attracted to this because on some level, they probably already know like, hey, I'm meant for more, or I'm looking for more, or something about this is drawing me in. But what did it feel like for you? Like when you started to be like, this is not everything that I thought it was going to be. I don't want to live corporate life.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all at our core seekers, right? Like
I would hope.
It's just what's, it's where we're, I mean, like coming down to like the basic things, like even when we're kids, like we go to school, we're seeking knowledge, we're seeking growth there. We've been doing that our whole lives. And then it just comes down to, you know, did you have good enough teachers to put you into the right direction? So I would say if you're listening to this, you're a seeker, you're on the path, you know, I always say like, things will be found once you go seeking them, but like things aren't going to come and hit you. So if you are practicing a modality that feels good for you, congratulations, you're doing the work. It doesn't have to be like this big white light burning bush experience. It can simply be like, oh no, I'm doing something different than I've ever done before. Or I have a simple practice of this. And that is simply enough, the work. I think we put a lot of different ideas or, you know, constructs on what doing the work looks like. And I think that's also quite a bit of a BuzzFeed word or like a buzzword right now, where it's
like, really like trendy and hot and everyone's having like these big epiphanies.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I have epiphanies every day, you know, like I just had an epiphany at a bakery where I was like, man, I didn't know I like this kind of cookie. Here we are. Right. Like, but I think
this is awesome.
Yeah. I think the expectations around what these epiphanies should look or feel like is the problem, you know? Yeah. So it's like, if you're comparing yourself to somebody else's experience, it's a waste of time because you don't know what they've gone through up until that moment. Like my story is not going to be your story and my experience won't be your experience. So I always tell people, no two experiences in breathwork are the same. Sometimes you're going to have super deep, powerful ones, and sometimes they're going to be light and fluffy. I know for me, like my first 6 months of steady practice, I was feeling into my body in a way that I had never felt before. Like I'd never paid attention to it. You know, I'm a neck up kind of gal. So I think my way into situations and solutions, and I've used my intelligence to get this far in life, but then forgetting from the neck down, I have this incredibly wise body that has gone through a lot and it's carrying trauma. It's carrying prior experiences. It's carrying the fact that I was never taught how to grieve or feel anger or sadness in a way that, you know, was acceptable by society. So instead I shoved it in that little body, which then leads you into doing like inner child work and, you know, getting into, you know, more of the hippie woo side of that, of being like, right, like we all are just these wounded little children walking around expecting to interact with individuals in a sane and healthy way, forgetting that like we all have our past life experiences, zodiac signs, human designs, like and, you know, all of these things, love languages, like you name it. There's a million things in between me and another person, but like, how do I want to show up in that? And I think for me, the first experience that I had in breathwork was I realized that my heart was ever giving. It had no bounds. And for me, as someone who felt very stingy with my love, I got to see that I had so much more within me that I had to give. So I just realized, okay, cool. How can I change that in my day-to-day life then? What does the integration of this message actually look like? And that's one of the things that I think is interesting in the breathwork world, is that people jump into it and they have these big experiences or these big feelings, or, you know, they hear a message or something, but then how are you integrating these things into your life? Right? Like I've got plenty of friends that are in every yoga class all the time doing the things. And I'm like, but are you integrating the lessons that you're learning from the yogic practices into your life off of your mat? And if not, what are you doing? Right? Like what are we doing here? Like, I don't lay down to breathe, to dredge up old emotions, just to continue to sit with them. I want them to move. I want to continue to change and evolve. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but it's in the practice of doing something that it happens naturally.
That was so beautiful. I was just sitting here and I was like, yeah. And I've listened to you teach before, but that was so beautiful. And
thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I think there's a lot to be said for what you said about the integration piece. Of course, it's always, I kind of tell people, it's like when you go grocery shopping and you have like all the healthy food in your fridge and you keep ordering takeout, like you just have, because I do that a lot. Like I have all this healthy food, but I'm not using it. So it's really not doing me any good. It just looks like I did something. So the integration piece is huge, but I also like what you said about how it's like a deeply unique experience. Made me think of one of the breathwork sessions that I did while I was in your class, actually, where you were like, we're going to try something really big and we're all going to yell at the end. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to what? I'm going to lay down and breathe. And then I'm going to yell. And I was like, I don't even know if I can make myself yell. I don't even know if I can do that. And I was like, oh, well, these other people have done it. And like, then I started thinking about it and like, wasn't in my body anymore. And I was like, I'm going to incorporate this really big yell. I'm going to go for it. And I didn't happen. I actually just started laughing. I just started laughing and I started crying. And I was like, this is so embarrassing. Why is my body doing this? But I felt so much better after. And it was one of those, I don't know. I want to say it was like a light and fluffy one, but like I carried that like lightness for days.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is awesome. What is this? So really just to hammer home the point that it doesn't look the same, even like when you attend the same breathwork session with the same teacher with the same goal, it just doesn't always look like that.
Yeah, and I think that's the cool thing of it. It's like I can only lead, right? And then it's up to you to decide, does that feel right? Is that what I want to be doing? Like what feels safe and comfortable for me? And that comes down to, you know, trauma-informed care practices and working with individuals who you know offer that up. And it's like, hey, this is what we're gonna do. If you want in, you're more than welcome to. And if you don't, that is A-okay too, right? Like that's what I enjoy about the realm that I work in, is it's like roomy and all inclusive and never exclusive. Like you are perfect as you are, and whatever it is that you uncover, you're welcome to bring it there and to find support and care for yourself, and then, you know, to continue to move on. And if you want to come in and be like, yo, I'm just a skeptic and I'm checking it out, if you do the breath pattern, you're gonna have an experience. That is the only thing that I've ever seen happen. You know, I've had people sit up and be like, I didn't feel anything. I was like, well, you didn't do anything that I asked you to do, so how would you? You know, like I'm not shocked. I was witnessing you, you know, and it was just like, right. It was like, all right, cool. You know, you do you. But like, I think when people find their way into breath work or into this realm at all, like something about you drew you there. So allow your intuition to guide you, and then just have an open heart and an open mind enough to say, maybe I don't know what this is going to be like. And that can be scary. That's okay. But you're still going to walk through it and you're not going to do it alone.
I love that it's so open and welcoming, and like whatever experience you have is the experience that you were supposed to have. There's really no like wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Unless of course you come and you just don't do it at all. I mean,
still, but like, you're still breathing in one way, you know? So like,
yeah, that's true.
They get exactly what it is that they want. But if they have this expectation or demand on what this should look like, then you're probably going to be disappointed. I love it when I get clients, they sit across from me like, man, I just really need a good cry. And I laugh in my head, 'cause I'm like, it's not going to happen then, you know, like when we place these demands upon ourselves. No, that's not how the body works. Like you can't be like, well, I'm here because I want X, Y, and Z. Nah, you know, you're there for whatever it is that you're there for. And the less demands that you have upon yourself, which we have plenty enough in our day-to-day life, we're just a little bit softer and kinder to ourselves. Yeah. And things that can unfold are so much juicier, you know, then it's like, oh, well, I'm going to do the yell with these people. And instead I'm giggling and now this feels good. You know, it's like, right. Like our active brains think they know what it needs, but our bodies, again, first and foremost, they're so much bigger. There's so much more going on here. Like, yeah. Just shut up and listen.
Which is so much easier said than done, I feel like. But that's also the same thing that kind of drew me to the breath work was, like you were saying, like I couldn't just shut up and listen and sit in silence. And that wasn't really it for me. So I like that it's a different way to do that same thing.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's nice to have choices. And I know when I originally asked you to come on, I was like, I want you to come on and talk about breath work. But I also have never had anybody on to explain like what an aura is or what it looks like to go and get it done, because you can't just, well, I guess some people can, but I see it a lot in like trendy Facebook groups and stuff where people are like, oh my God, I saw your picture and I saw your aura and you have this and this color. Let me tell you what it means. But can you speak to like what it actually looks like? And like, I know you have a whole different camera set up to capture everything.
So aura photography started to come around about in like the 1970s. There were these two guys who were obsessed with energy. And when we're talking about auras, we're talking about our energetic force field that is around us that most of us can't see. There are individuals out there who believe they can see it. You can train yourself to see them. Instead, what I did was bought a camera that can capture.
Can you see them?
More fun. No, I don't. I'm not wasting
like,
my
have
time
you ever trained?
No, I've read plenty of books where it's like, you can do this. And I'm like, I literally skip over it. 'Cause I'm like, I invested a lot of money in a camera. I don't need to train myself to do this. I'm fine. Like my time and energy goes into breath work because I want to be a master at that. Like aura photography is just like a fun side business for me. So we all have these energy fields. And since I can't see mine, I wanted to know what it looked like. And I fell in love with it. I was going to Magic Jewelry in New York and I was getting my aura photographed quarterly and their readings are so crazy and so bonkers in retrospect, which is really fun. And when I was like burning out from processing trauma with people in breathwork, I was like, oh, what if I did this? Like, this is already what my background is. So I purchased this camera and it's got these little hand plates that you put your hands on, feeds in your biomagnetic energy force field into the camera. And it shoots out this awesome Polaroid that's got all these colors. And now I do readings on them because I did study like auric fields, colors, color theory, chakras, all of that. And it's my favorite. It's so much fun. It's like, it's so silly and joyful. And it's so nice to be able to show someone like, oh, this is who you are. Like, this is how people feel you when you walk into a room. This is how you could probably give more to yourself. This is what's going on in your hopes and dreams. Like, oh, are you in an introspective or an expansive period? And sometimes we just want to know a little bit more about ourselves, right? Like I read my horoscope all the time because I want to understand better, like where are we at? What's going on? And so like, you can take it as serious or as lighthearted as you want. I think we all need a little bit more joy and fun in our lives. So I try to keep it super airy and fun.
Oh, it is. They're so cool. I remember getting my first one done when I was like 7 or 8 at like a psychic fair in Denver.
Oh man.
And it was so cool. It came out on like the little Polaroid picture that you had to shake and form, and then give you like a little cheat sheet of like, this is what you're into. Da, da, da. And I was young at the time, but it was like all green. And it was like, and you really do this and this and like being outside and like doing this with animals and all these things. And it was like, oh my God, look at the whole thing about me.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, well, you're 8. So like, it's cool to you. And I was like, no, this is cool all the time. So now I like go up to Sedona pretty, like you said, kind of like quarterly, like at least 3 or 4 times a year when I go. And I'm like, so I just want to see what's going on now.
I love it.
And right around the time when I was talking to you and enrolled in like the breathwork class, and I was like, I don't know, I think I'm going to not teach this upcoming year. And I'm going to like take all this time. They were like, hey, are you thinking about any like really big life changes? You kind of have this and this going on. And I was like, what? Ma'am, I don't know you. How did you get all of that? And she's like, yeah, so you see the colors in the corner here? Like, it's really cool.
It's really special. Yeah. And it's also like, we are energy and energy can't be created nor destroyed. So it's just, it's always changing. There's a lot going on there and how we interact with other people's energy is important. So like, I'm always like red, which is like grounded. I can make people feel safe, supported and secured and loved. And so like,
absolutely.
Bless you. So like, I know like that's how people will take me in. Right. So it's my job to remember that and people will feel very close to me quickly. And I remember years ago, I was like, what the heck? Like, I don't even know this person. Like, I remember calling a friend. I was like, why do they call me as a second person to tell me that they were pregnant? Like, we're not even friends. And they're like, she believes she's friends with you. And I was like, oh,
right, I think I said that at the beginning of the episode. I'm like, Sarah and I are basically best friends, but we're not really. I just kind of
close to me and it's great, you know, but like that's my auric field. And that's the most consistent thing in my energy field. And like, there's so many people that operate in different levels. So then you're like, oh, wow. Like I'll get along with this kind of human or that kind of human. And it's just really special and silly and unique.
It is. It's really fun. And to do the aura photos, you do have to be like in the same area, right?
Yeah.
Like breath work you can do via Zoom and stuff, but the aura photos you need to be there for. And
yes.
Yeah. So if you guys follow her on her Instagram and stuff, it'll be, I'll put it down in the show notes, but like she does advertise when she's doing pop-ups. And like, if you're in the New York area or like, you know, at the time, if you had been in Bali when she was doing them, those kinds of things, she'll advertise them ahead of time. So you can go and get your picture taken and let her tell you a little bit about you. It's super fun. Yeah. And what about you kind of started that new, like women's intimacy expert thing later? What is that like?
Yeah, I started working with my teacher, Kristen. She's Yonilicious on Instagram. She's absolutely brilliant. We've done a lot of different workshops together. And when we were doing our last one, she was like, when are you going to just train and come and do this? And I was like, never. Like, I've got enough things on my plate, sister.
Never.
And then I was like, Yeah. And then I realized, oh, like what a disservice. Like most of the women that I work with have been through some sort of traumatic relationship or have gone through, or have gone through something, you know, along the lines of, you know, sexual assault or anything of the sort. And like, these are things that I've been through and I've worked through. So I realized it'd be a disservice for me not to continue to dive deeper and see how I can be helpful. So I have been studying with her for the past year. It's supposed to be a 6-month thing. I'm taking it very slowly. And I'm just slowly incorporating everything in. And we did this really big, like workshop together called Big Kunta, where yeah. we just, it was the best, where we just let all
so cool.
these women
it came
like,
across in, really well.
It was fun. And like, we just were guiding people and, or people, women, people who have vulvas, into their own bodies and understanding like, oh, this is how our cycles affect us. This is what's going on. These are things from the patriarchy. This is what pleasure looks like, differentiating orgasmic pleasure from just like standard pleasure in the body and just getting outside of the realm of that sex needs to be, you know, have an end goal. And having women start to understand like what it looks like to be fully ready to have sex. What are the different kinds of orgasms that you can have doing, you know, sensual breast touching just for yourself. And at the end, we all did a yoni viewing party, which was so confronting for me. It was nothing that I wanted to do. But then we did, and like the sisters that were there on live with us was so beautiful. And it was so incredible to just connect in and be like, right, like we're all this like sex driven world. And then here we are afraid to talk about our own bodies or our own pleasure. And it was just really stunning to watch people change throughout the 8 weeks that we had together. And it changed the way that I look at my own sexuality. And I had originally got into this because I had faked orgasms until I was 30 and I didn't yeah. understand what pleasure felt like for me. And I just wanted to be cool and a part of, and eventually I started speaking up, and that's when I met Kristen and she changed my world. You know, so now I'm becoming I'm in training to be a yoni masseuse, which means is an like full body massage. And then also an internal massage of your yoni to see where pleasure, pressure, pain, and numbness exist. So when I did mine with Kristen, I had no idea that I had pleasure zones where they were. I was like, oh wow, like that's incredible. And I had no idea that I had so much trauma still there. And I had really profound experiences in that one session with her. So I was like, oh yeah, like let's do this. Let's get, you know, vulva people back into their bodies, into experiencing things on a deeper level. So it's super confronting and pretty hard for people to take in because it's such a taboo topic. But I think I've also been given the gift to talk about things that are harder for people to talk about. So I'm going to continue to use my voice for good. And if those things resonate, then they do. And if they don't, like, that's okay too. I'm not here to be liked by everyone.
Well, interesting that like none of that ever gets talked about in like our sex ed, you know? And I remember when they separated us and they were like, I was in like sixth grade, and they separated the boys going to one room and the girls going to another room. And like, that would be the perfect time to kind of talk about it and be like, this is what it looks like for, you know, a woman. This is what it looks like for a man, or this is kind of what the experience is like. Here are things to be aware of. And like, we don't ever talk about any of that.
No.
Now, even now, as like at 27, I'm like, hey, I think I like this and this and this. And people are like, what do you mean? Why would you say that? And I'm like, why not? Like,
yeah,
porn's a huge industry. Beer ads have boobs everywhere. It is Super Bowl, like everything. But we can't talk about it.
Of course. Of course not. Especially like not talking about female pleasure, like as if we're just these orifices for men to jerk off into. Like, I'm not here for that. No, like my pleasure is important. I will not compromise on that. You, no entry until you take care of me also. Like, no, but like, I didn't know any of these things. Like, I just thought that sex had to be painful or that pleasure wasn't as important because I was there to serve a man. And like, I didn't grow up in the '70s, but like, this was still happening, you know, in the '90s and the 2000s and all of that. It was like, oh shoot. Like, okay, there's still a lot of unlearning to do. And I'm happy to put a voice to it because I can't be the only person thinking this, you know?
No, absolutely not. Definitely not. I feel like there's still a lot of like slut shaming and like, oh, did you give it up on the first date and this and that? But it's, I mean, yeah, even now.
I love the double standard with that. It's like, oh, don't have sex on a first date, but then if you don't hook up with them, then they're probably not going to call you back. You're like, great. Thank you so much.
But you're probably a prude, or you're a slut, or you're this, or you're that.
You're never the right thing for which somebody wants you to be. So that's always fun. That's I'm always like, yo, I'm just unapologetically me. My favorite thing is like when I go on dates with people and they ask me what I do, which like first and foremost, I couldn't have the most weird professions of all time. When I tell them like I'm a female sexuality specialist, they're like, what does that mean? Like they get super intrigued by that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sex is in it. And I was like, well, you know, like 84% of women fake pleasure, and every guy's like, never with me. And I'm like, I'm gonna let you know, it's going to be especially with you. Sorry, spoiler alert. And I was like, there's no way to expect that all of us would be able to please one another, because communication is the foundation of everything. And I haven't found anyone that is good at communicating their needs, let alone their sexual needs.
Ooh, valid.
Right.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, how good am I at that really? Wow. I don't know. Maybe I should come to class for that too.
Like my last partner had no idea what he liked sexually. And I was like, what do you mean? Like you've been sexually active for over 20 years and you don't know where you like to be kissed. You don't know how you like your cock to be touched. Like not in a shaming way, just in a like, oh my gosh, like, and that's for a man, you know, like heaven forbid for a woman. And I'm, you know, I date men and male and female. And like women are a whole other ball game. And I'm like, man, like we just need so much more time, care, and attention. And, you know, like co-sign us of taking care of ourselves, of spending time with just touching ourselves, not in a sexual way, but just like in an explorative, like, does this feel good for me? What do I like? Because then when I am with someone, how am I going to articulate it to them if I don't know what I like?
I think it takes a big level of vulnerability too. Like for all of this programming and like the patriarchy and all of these things that surround it, it's weird to be, it feels weird, but it shouldn't, to be like, hey, this is actually what I like, because we're so programmed not to talk about it. And then to be open and to be vulnerable and be like, this is what I like. And I hope it doesn't scare you away, or I hope it doesn't bother you, or I hope you don't think it's weird or too much.
Don't even fucking put that in there. Hey, this is what I'm into. Would you like to explore with me? You know, like how would it feel like for you to try this? Like, I'm never going in like leading with like, oh, I'm kind of weird. And I like that. Like, no.
Well, no. Hey, I feel like that's welcome. How they happen though.
Welcome to the pleasure palace known as my body. This is how you get to play along. Are you in or are you out? You let me know. And then when you lead with like that beautiful open vulnerability, communicative nature, your partner can also do that, you know? So like, I'm happy to continue to pave the way with that. Be like, yo, this is what's that? You in?
All right, I don't think fine. I got into that until like much, much later, like much later. Like, I mean, like some people like 2 or 3 years.
Some people because never do.
I know before they'd be like, oh, that's kind of weird. Or like, oh, do you, especially also though, I think part of it is like, I'm only 27. So like years ago, like I really had no fucking idea, because college boys had no fucking idea. So
most people don't. Most people don't, you know, and the fact that we
got better, and I realize now that it doesn't get better until you start talking about it and you like have those experiences. So I like that you're so open and put it out there and you have those safe spaces. I know that, again, she'll advertise this on like her Instagram. When she was doing the workshop, it was advertised. There were things like, hey, take these polls, answer some questions if you want to come on, if you have any questions. So she's really big and she's really welcoming. And there was a period there that I was living for, where she was sharing her dating stories and like polls and questions. Like, it's just fun. It's open. It's just, like she said, to be authentically herself all the time with like the good, the bad, the stuff that she's working through, the stuff that she's offering. So if you guys are looking for somebody like refreshing and honest, this is definitely your girl. And she kind of dabbles in the, I wanted to say you dabble in everything, but it all really has like that big connective theme of like being into your body and just being wholly also, yourself.
Yeah. Like, I also don't want to only post things that are like a highlight reel, 'cause like, that's not life, right? Like, I live a very charmed life that I created for myself that I'll be eternally grateful for. But I would be remiss to say that I don't have down days, you know?
Right.
So it's like when that happens, I am vulnerable. I am someone who suffers from depression and anxiety. So those plague me sometimes. And that means I can't work, and that's okay. But like, that also means I want to create a space for other people to realize like, oh shoot, like that's me too. And so we can feel a little less alone. Like I recently did a workshop in anxiety and we had over 80 people come, which was so special. And I was like, man, like that is just a small fraction of the world that is also suffering from this. And if I can help one person feel less alone in their emotions, and like, that's what I want to do. Like, I'm just here trying to do good, not cause harm.
You just hang out and give everyone a place to be. I think you do a great job at it. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank
you're you. You're welcome. And I'm so grateful that you're here. And I know that originally I had advertised, I was like, we're going to talk about breathwork, but we kind of jumped all over and talked about a little bit of everything. Is there anything that you want to share? Is there anything like lingering that you feel called to do?
I mean, I always just like to remind people, like, again, trust your intuition to where it's guiding you. Allow yourself to go down the rabbit hole and to maybe try something new, especially if it feels like it's pushing on like that growing edge of yours where you're like, oh, like I'm kind of afraid. Yeah. Like allow yourself to do some research, to dive into it, to talk to the people that are, you know, leading different things and see, is this right for you? Cause you can continue going on doing life the way that you are. But if you feel like you're craving more, give yourself more.
I always tell people, like, if it's calling you, it's for you. Like, you don't just get these random urges to go and explore something new for no reason. Like, there's something about it that's going to bring you something.
Agree.
So, and that intuition piece is huge. So if you guys want to go back a couple of episodes or look at my stuff on my Instagram, we have this whole thing coming up about intuition and, like, what it is and how to work with it, because that's something that I think has been lost in translation for so long. So you guys can check that out. And then of course I will put Sarah's website and her Instagram and all of her stuff in the show notes so that you guys can find her. You can, what all are you offering right now? Are you still doing breathwork classes?
Yeah. Every Sunday training. We all come together and breathe. So it's called the Members Only Breath Fam. We come together and we breathe for 30 minutes. And if you can't come live, the recording, I have like an on-demand with like 20 recordings on there. I host breathwork facilitator trainings a few times a year. What else am I doing?
Totally worth it.
I've been doing a lot of deeper dives with people and more one-on-one work. And instead of using this modality as a band-aid, actually getting into the nooks and crannies and understanding like the limiting beliefs, the inner child work, all of that, which is the life-changing work that rerouted my entire existence. So I'm always here if you ever want to chat. Anything, I got you. Slide in the DMs or email me. I got you.
Slide in the DMs. I love it. But she's super nice, you guys. She's super welcoming. She's super warm about everything. She's a great teacher. She's somebody that I really look up to as far as breathwork sessions go, and she's a wealth of information. So I will be sure to put her stuff down there. And you guys should definitely watch and see. I have not made my way to New York, but if you guys are there, check out like her aura pop-ups and all of the fun stuff that you can do. I feel like we were all over the place today, but it was all really, really good. So thank you for being so flexible in doing that.
It's great.
And thank you for coming today.
Thank you.